In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhava says that you will conquer over Maya just by wearing the items that Lord Krishna has worn and taking the remnants of his food. Simply by that one activity, we can conquer over the insurmountable material energy. So I feel much better now. Thank you. And Sankirtan is for everyone. Sankirtan, this is a movement. Movement means somebody's got to move, and it might as well be us. Because you have to move anyway. Everyone's in motion, Krishna says, and can't stop. But if you make your movements according to the instruction of Lord Krishna, then you become perfect. Puram nirantaram karma lokoyam advartate tinayavakamana tyayam nam param bhaktamichati. Krishna says to Rama in the Rama Samhita that all people have to work and they have to move. Puram nirantaram karma, they have nirantaram karma. Lokoyam advartate tinayavakamana tyayam. But if you meditate on me by means of that work that you do, then it will take the supreme destination. Krishna says the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mahanusmara yukta cha mayakrita manobhuhir mani vaishyakta samshaya. If you do your work for me, or you do your work and think of me at the same time, then it will take you without a doubt. And Krishna also says, rasa hamapsukantaya, I'm the taste of water. Here's the menu. It's okay? Okay. Sampradaya, the word means the complete gift. We've been given a gift. That's a sampradaya means equipment. It means someone gave you something very valuable, they passed it on to you. And sam means, as in sankirtan, it means complete. So you're getting the complete gift. Everything you need is coming down to you as a special gift, as a present. So our legacy is to pass on that gift. Shri Advaita Acharya pined for the Lord. He saw that people were very fallen. And he appreciated the Lord asking to send, because he said, nobody else but you can solve the problems in Kali Yuga. It's too severe. And then he remembered a verse from scripture that said, if someone offers me, Krishna is saying, if someone offers me with devotion a palm full of Ganges water and tulsi leaves, then I become purchased by that person. So Sri Advaita Acharya, hearing, reading, remembering that shloka, began to cry out for the Lord, please come and give your mercy to the people in Kali Yuga. Please come. And this is the reason that Lord Chaitanya descended. And this picture is a picture of Shalabhram Shiva. Prabhupada personally sketched that because we didn't have any Shalabhram Shivas in this town at the time. And Prabhupada had drawn a picture according to this pastime, but he didn't know what a Shalabhram Shiva was. So Prabhupada personally sketched this little Srinivasan and the Shalabhram there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. He anarpita chadin chirat karani yavatir kakalo samarakali samarakho dvavarasam sabhakti shriya. He had, after appearing as Lord Krishna, then said that I haven't given my special mercy for a long time. And he came specifically to distribute what had never been given before. And that is a conception of love for God which was beyond the official kind of worship that the Lord receives in Vaikuntha out of a sense of duty, maryada. This was spontaneous devotional service. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came for his own internal purposes, which are described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we're recipients of his appearance. He's not just the Yuga avatar, but he's actually Swayam Bhagavan himself, who appears because he decided to come, and it happened to coincide with the time that the Yuga avatar appears. So he came himself, personally, to taste the love that his devotees, especially Srimati Radharani, has for himself. And he's in an intoxicated state when he appears. God in an intoxicated state. So some of the acharyas have said, just like an emperor gets intoxicated, so intoxicated he barely sees. And he goes into his treasury, and he fills up a bag full of all the most valuable jewels. And then he goes out onto the common road singing and dancing in his intoxication and just gives it out for free. So, mage bana mage keha patra va apatra. Hihar vichar nahi jane deha matra. Deha matra means he just gives. And mage bana mage, he doesn't. Who asks for it, or who doesn't ask for it, he doesn't care. Patra va apatra, he doesn't even care who's qualified. He just gives. Deya matra, you give, 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 just pass it out. He doesn't consider what's a good time, place, circumstance. He's in ecstasy, he's dancing, he gives out all these. The highest gift, which is this Krishna prema, never been done before. Anarpita, chayim shira. Considered, never been done. So he comes to give the greatest charity to everyone. So this is our legacy. We've come just a few minutes after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The vibration is still hanging in the air from his kirtans. See? 500 years ago, Mahaprabhu gave two simple. Any popular movements you see around the world, you find that they're very simple. In Japan, there was a very popular Buddhist monk. Still today, many people follow him. He lived almost around the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he walked around Japan barefoot. And he gave a very simple message to people that everyone could understand. People in the village, everywhere. And then everyone began to take up his process. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very similar in his approach. Very simple, simple, simple. Two things only. He said, chant Hare Krishna, and teach others how to chant Hare Krishna. Easy, right? Simple process that he taught. Of course, the Goswamis, he told them, go to Vrindavan, reconstruct all the holy places, and bring out the Shastra, make the Sampradaya whole. Nama Shastra Vichara Naikunikuno Shadharma Samstapa. Oh. Lokarana Nitakara Namo Shibhubane Mando Sharanyakaro. So they took all this outpouring of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasies, which are based on the highest love for God, and they codified them. They put it in a way that would solidify the Sampradaya, that it would persist for tens of thousands of years, that you need to have a clear understanding of the Siddhanta, Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, and the commentaries on Bhagavatam. And Jiva Goswami, the Satsangarbha, he takes all of the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Bhagavatam, and he puts it in a way that's irrefutable Siddhanta, understanding Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he explains all the rasas, so forth. So this is our legacy, and it's coming down in a simple way, because within chant Hare Krishna, you get everything. People on the street don't understand philosophy, they're not inclined to philosophy, and in Kali Yuga, nobody is. Pranayama Parishasapya Kalas Minugijana Mandasa Manda Matayo Manda Pagyahi Pagyata. In the Iron Age of Kali, men have short lives. They're quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. So it has to be simple but powerful. This is chant Hare Krishna. And teach it to others. Two parts. What are the two parts? Yeah, two parts. Two parts. Chant Hare Krishna and? That's Lord Chaitanya's program. Chant Hare Krishna and? Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nanda opened the marketplace of the holy name. So this is marketing. Good for Americans. Americans like marketing. They have a bunch of junk.
like Coca-Cola, it's sugar water. It tastes terrible. They just market it in a way. It says, pour out the happiness. That's their new ad. Pour out the happiness. They have all kinds of way of marketing, so everyone gets all enamored. A mob who actually had something to market, they opened the marketplace of the holy name, and Mahaprabhu wanted it spread. It's for spiritual entrepreneurs. He wanted spiritual entrepreneurs, people to step up and actually make this expand all over the world, every town and village. And here's Mahaprabhu dancing through Miami Beach. And that's happening now, everywhere. Lord Chaitanya's movement became hidden. After Mahaprabhu's manifest pastimes were over, gradually there was a decline in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So much so that the Gaudiyas were considered to be low class. And if a Gaudiya Vaishnav came to your door, people would just say, give him something, get him out of here. They didn't want to hear anything from Gaudiya Vaishnavs. And in fact, at the time in India, there were all kinds of reactions to the propaganda the British were making about the Indian philosophy. And people, the intelligentsia in India had all but turned away from the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Lord Chaitanya's movement had been hidden. The Chaitanya Charitamrita of Kaviraj Goswami, this revealed scripture about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God, Lord Chaitanya, had gone underground. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur appears. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was an icon of his time. He was respected in the intelligentsia, among the intelligentsia of the time. Many of them had gone away, as I was saying, from the original philosophy of Vaishnavism and were concocting Brahmoism and other kinds of ideas that were mixtures of Christianity and Gaudiya Vaishnavism and all kinds of things of Mayavad and things like that, to try to compensate for discrepancies that people saw and that the British were bringing out about the philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnava and so forth. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur broke away from all of these the intelligentsia of the time, especially after, in his own words, he had discovered the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and realized, after being ecumenically minded, and he still was after reading this, but he understood that this was the supreme teaching that united everybody. It brought all the religions of the world together in this simple process of chanting Hare Krishna and giving it to other people. And he came out strongly, wrote over 100 books, and taught that this is the pinnacle of all philosophy. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amala Purana, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had said, Arajya Bhagavan Vrajesha Tamayasa Dhamma Vrindavana Ramik Kachudipasana Vraja Vidubar Ena Vokalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Tad Vaishnavam Dhanam. He said these are our basic truths, and one of them is that Srimad Bhagavatam is the perfect literature. Everything is there, non-interpolated and completely pure. And that one can attain all success by reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the great acharya who revealed and re-established the marketplace of the holy name and brought it out. He conceived of a marketplace where people, there's currency. People would pay with their faith. There are different levels of marketers. And it's like network marketing, if anybody's done that before. Any Amway people in here? Some of these soap and stuff. Okay. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur at Sravikunj announced that the marketplace is now open again. And Mahaprabhu's movement began to revive. Bhaktivinoda was sending books overseas and telling people about the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And again, people began to dance and chant and actually follow the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he prayed for a ray of Vishnu. Please, let a ray of Vishnu appear in my family. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the greatest scholar of our time, appeared, staunch Vaishnava, who was like the lion guru, to establish his Siddhanta. He said, I will not leave even at the size of a pinhead for Mayavadis to stand on in this world. This preaching was so strong. I will propagate this teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Siddhanta so assiduously that they won't have even a pinhead of space to stand on. And he trained all of his disciples so meticulously so that they go out and defeat others, and in writing, in their magazines, several magazines coming out a day, different publications, all of them addressing the Siddhanta and flooding India with these writings and influencing society greatly, so much so that the Gaudiya Math spread all over the world, all over India. And he also predicted many things, but one of them was that a great personality will appear to help spread it all over the world. And everyone was looking for that. And at the time, there were great Vaishnava Acharyas who were carrying the pure vibration of the holy name, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Once a rich merchant from Calcutta came. He was a wealthy man, so he figured, I have everything now, except one thing. I don't have a guru. So I'll go get a guru, and then I'll really be set for in society. So he said, who's the best guru? Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He was famous. So he went out to the field where Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was chanting his japa constantly, and he went to approach him for initiation, and he said, I'll give some dakshin, and then I'll be set for life. And he was thinking, what could he want? He lives in a field, you know, what, he'll build him a house or something, you know, that ought to be good enough. And so he said, so Maharaj, I want to surrender to you, and I'll give you dakshin, and you just tell me, order me what to do. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, you stay here, don't go home. And he ran back to Calcutta. So these pure devotees are always here on the planet, keeping the vibration going. They're always, sadhus are always there. We may not see them, but when they come out, like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sat for 10 years with a vow to chant 1 billion names of Krishna. Eating barely anything, sitting under a little umbrella in the monsoon, and he went on chanting all day long, taking a little tiny bit of rest. Complete fixation on the holy name of the Lord. But then, in a vision, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Panchatattva, came to him and called him out and said, no, go out and spread this. Go out and bring it to the world. Use all of your intellect, all of your training, everything to bring this out to the world. And he came out from a strong rank. All over India, the Gaudiya Math was famous. It flourished all over India. It influenced the great thinkers of the time. And it became prominent. He also sent envoys to Burma, one little place in Burma. He sent several devotees to England to try to make inroads there. And they mostly met with the upper crust of society and a few people like Lord Jetland was interested in Christian consciousness. They weren't so expert at presenting in the way that Prabhupada presented, obviously. Yenatena Prakarena Krishna Mana Nivesha. At first, get people thinking about Krishna. When Lord Jetland came and said, can you make me a Brahmin? And he said, sure, you just have to follow these principles. And he said, impossible. That's how far they got in England. When they did go to England, however, before the several devotees went there, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur insisted that they bring with them a book, which was the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And before he would release it, he made sure that it was meticulously presented. He didn't want one single mistake, not one comma out of place in that book. Because he said it's being presented to the world, and we don't want to look like a bunch of buffoons by presenting a literature which is not edited properly. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when asked by Abhay Charanaravinda, Srila Prabhupada, what can I do? I'm a householder, I live outside, all your sannyasis are doing so much service, what can I do to help? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told him, if you ever get money, nobody said it with more enthusiasm. If you ever get money,
bring
books. Much more than that. If you ever get money,
bring books.
So they can hear you outside. If you ever get money,
bring books.
So Savas gets into the ecstasy. If you ever get money,
bring books.
Come on, a little more. That's about a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10. Let's go for a 7. If you ever get money,
bring books.
So he gave them this instruction to focus on books. Put your energy into printing and distributing books. He instilled this in them. You can see in the way that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati included the printing press as part of his logo for the Gaudiya Mutt. Not only that, when he established the Paramarthi printing works to publish books, he established the printing press as part of the altar. You'll have the deities, and you say, like, over where Gornitai would be, you have an opening there, and the printing press was on the altar. Savasta smiling now. Because he said, this is worshipable, because it's the Brihatmadanga, it's actually spreading to the living entities, the Sambandhagyan, the way that they can realize their greatest treasure in life. This is the greatest welfare work to do this. So he instructed and instilled in Srila Prabhupada this ideal that you should give mercy to the living beings. Give it out. Distribute it. Jive doi Krishna nam sarva dharma sarva. The essence of all religion is showing mercy to the living entities. By loudly chanting Hare Krishna. And you get very loud when you distribute books. Srila Prabhupada spread that marketplace all over the world. He came armed with his three set of Srimad Bhagavatam, and here it is. That's his first pamphlet that he created to advertise the Bhagavatam. And this is when he had three volumes of the book. And on this pamphlet it says 60 volumes of elaborate English version. He had three. And he also said, all over the world for scientific knowledge of God. You see how Prabhupada was thinking? He wasn't thinking, I'll make a few books. He was thinking, all over the world for scientific knowledge of God. All over the world. And he already had it in mind that he was going to have 60 volumes. While he had three. Prabhupada was always thinking like this. In fact, while Prabhupada was still a vanaprastha, he went to one of his godbrothers to get some service. And there was a magazine that the monk was producing. And so they gave the project to Prabhupada. And he had such a big vision for it, and he started developing in such a grand way, they got scared. They said, don't do it anymore. Because they weren't thinking like that. He was always thinking, all over the world, let's bring this to all the people, everywhere. So Prabhupada came speaking that. He sat on that seat, right there. And he made these statements about distributing and printing books. He did it everywhere. He went all over the world. He sat and spoke these words. He wrote them in his books, and he wrote them in his letters. By printing books, we can actually inject our movement into the masses of people all over the world. This is not just a tradition. It's a strategy. By distributing books, we actually change society. It may not be fully apparent immediately, but it will come to pass. When you flood the world with your ideology through the written word, it has a profound effect for generations to come. A book is something you cannot deny. You have to deal with it, because it's completely organized, and it speaks to people, and you can't stop it. That's why governments, when they want to suppress the people, they start burning books, they start rejecting, start restricting them. When we went to Vietnam recently to get the Bhagavad Gita printed, we had to be very careful. You can't distribute literature here, there, and everywhere. To get the Gita, we had to go to a special publisher who would take it to the government. We'd go through it page by page and make sure that it wasn't going to upset the status quo. And once they give their stamp, then you can sell it in bookstores and so forth. Very careful. Books are powerful. They change people's minds and ideas. And if somebody gets one book and they start a little cell group in their house and start talking about it, next thing more people come, more people come, more people come, and next thing you got a movement. And despot governments don't like that. They're very careful about that in country. So here in America, we have freedom to go out and talk to whomever we want to at any time. We should not take it for granted. And it's not guaranteed you'll have that forever. America's based on this idea of breaking away from these restrictive laws. It's a free country. One of the only very free countries in the world. And we have the opportunity to distribute these books. Take it. Take the opportunity. Take these books out while we have the window of opportunity. Give them to everybody who possibly can. Brainstorm. Tax your brain. Figure out how to do it. Print as many books from this Vyasa Sangha. Prabhupada said this. print as many books. Can you all say?
Print as many books.
That mantra will get you through. Then you'll have plenty of service if you just concentrate on that one sentence. So kindly help me. This is my request. So Prabhupada's asking, help me in Sushu Shro Shadadarasya Vasudeva Katara Chi Siyan Mahansevaya Viparpunya Tiritan Shaya. If you serve a great Mahatma, you got a good career going on. There's a lot of careers in the world, but this is the best. There's a lot of good causes, but there's only one great cause, and that's serving the pure Brahma. And he comes and says exactly what he wants. If you just do it, take it to the bank. Don't worry about it. Just go for it. Kindly help me. I want that all my students shall vigorously try for book distribution. And Krishna says, there's no servant more dear in this world than the one who spreads this Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. Now, the direct order of Krishna, or the spiritual master, is a manifestation of his internal potency. And it is that particular potency that allows you to see the Lord face to face. That means that we come to this perfection, going to Goloka Vrindavan and seeing Krishna, or, as we say, developing the higher stages of devotional service, this Rag Bhakti, spontaneous devotional service, by a menial service to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By concentrating on spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, the hard work of printing, publishing, figuring out how to deal with all these moving parts, it seems like worldly activity. It's not. It's totally transcendental. And anyone who dedicates their life to this propagation of the Sankirtan movement and gets involved in the gears and the wheels and makes sure that it goes on with their life and soul, that person will develop perfection in the human form of life. Because Dasya Ras, to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, floods the heart with Krishna prema. This is the statement of Prabodhananda Saraswati. It's not by some independent endeavor, it's by serving a pure devotee, by serving a Vaishnava. And book distribution is that service. Simply by this attempt, Prabhupada said, you will get superior strength and knowledge about Krishna consciousness. So when we go out on book distribution, it's high sadhana. You're doing a high sadhana when you go on book distribution, and you'll make rapid advancement. Okay, thanks. So I'm not going to go on. Here are the four laws of book distribution. Can you say it, please? Sadhana must be strict, serious, and sincere. Prabhupada used these words in various places. I just put them all together. It makes it a nice mantra. Strict, serious, and sincere. And from strict, serious, and sincere sadhana, you get a taste. You have to get a taste. You have to beg for a taste. 24 hours a day, whatever it takes, get on your knees and beg that you can get a taste. Because that's the only thing that will save you from the material world. And when you have a taste, you have overflow. As soon as you get even a mustard seed worth of taste in Krishna consciousness from your hearing and chanting, you have this overflow that you can give to other people. And you have the impetus, you have the energy, you have the intelligence. You have everything you need. You become empowered to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. But first you have to get a taste. You have to practice strict, serious, and sincere sadhana, as if it was your last breath. And you have to cry out to Krishna and pray, please, let me have advanced association, let me have the intelligence to take advantage of it. Second law of book distribution is?
Get books.
Because you can't distribute books you don't have. It should be one of the laws of thermodynamics. It's impossible to distribute books you don't have. And right now we have an opportunity to get books like never before. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu copied the Brahma Samhita, it was by hand. If we had to do that, it would take a lot longer to get out of the Sankirtan. But right now we have an unprecedented opportunity. The printing press was invented by a fellow named Gutenberg, who started printing Bibles. The Gutenberg Bibles, the first printed book, and he invented a press just for that. The Christians, they wanted the Bible to get out there. It was dominated by the priestly class. They would teach everyone what's in it. But the Protestants said, everyone should have this. Just get it out there. So first Gutenberg made his printing press, and he brought out the Gutenberg Bible. And then there were the Royal Bible Society in England. They came out with a more advanced press, and they started making Bibles and getting them out there. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta noticed all these things. And he said, use them all for Lord Chaitanya's movement. Use the same thing. So getting books is a big deal. Our movement is based on these books. So if you have books, you'll distribute them. Take them with you wherever you go. Don't miss the opportunity. If you put a book in your bag, I'll tell you a story. I was in New York City a few years ago, and I was doing a seminar, and I was saying, you have to get books. You always take a book with you wherever you go. So it was a break at the seminar. And I walked out the door with Mitra Sena Prabhu. And that was at the Schermerhorn Temple. We were going for a walk. We needed a walk, go outside, go around the block. So I got outside and I said, Mitra, I have to go back. I just told everyone you can't go outside without a book. And here I don't have a book. So I'm going back up. So I went up 2 flights of stairs. I got a Shri Upanishad. I came back down and said, okay, at least now I'm not a hypocrite. I got a book. Let's go. So we started on our walk. We took a right on whatever that street is, Union. And then we took another right. And there was a construction crew there that were demolishing some brownstones. And there was a gigantic New York-looking fellow leaning against his pickup truck. He'd obviously been up there doing demolition for a little while. He had overalls on. And he was looking at us coming around the corner in our dhotis. And as we came closer, he looked at me. And he goes, as we got close, he goes, what are you, Buddha? And as soon as he said that, I realized Krishna's rewarding us, that I went back and got that book. How do you answer that? What are you, Buddha? What are you, Buddha? What are you supposed to say? So I just pulled out the book and I said, not exactly, but here, look at this. And he started going through it. He was an intelligent guy. His name was Vinny. And so Vinny goes through the book, and it was right after 9/11. And people were really freaked out. I met people on the street after 9/11 when we were distributing books. They would start crying when they looked at the book. They said, can this really help me? They were so shaken. Their reality was demolished. So Vinny was looking at the book, and I read him the verse in the Sri Upanishad that one who sees all living entities as spiritual sparks and quality one with the Lord becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? One who sees all living entities as one who sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything or any being. He heard that, and I could see his countenance changed. He became, enamored of the book. And so he said, it's a donation. I said, okay. So he climbed up in his truck, and he was in there for a long time. He said, Vinny, we have change. Because I could tell he had a big bill, and he was thinking, I can't give this up. And I didn't know if we had change or not. So he came back down, and he said, I got a 20. So I said, Mitra, how much you got? He had $2, I had $2. I said, Vinny, we got $4. And he goes, okay. So he paid $16 for a Shri Upanishad. And we invited him to come to the temple, which was right around the block, right around the corner. And we went away happy, satisfied. What was the difference? If we walked around with no book, what would have the opportunity have been for us to give Vinny a book?
Zero.
Goose eggs. No opportunity. But if you carry the book with you, these things just miraculously happen. You become a carrier. You become an agent. Be an agent and carry these books with you. You don't have to be clever or anything like that. You just have to bring them. And Lord Chaitanya will teach you. He'll make you, he'll connect you with the people who are looking for them. And then you just have to react and hand it over. And miracles will happen. Multiple languages. There are all these languages, books is in Farsi, you should get these books. This was a Muslim mullah I met, and he wanted to know if I said, Salaam alaikum, alaikum salam, manava kife laka, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, maqsud. And he came over and said, you pray to Mecca? And I said, 16 times a day. He came over and gave me a big hug. And And I gave him this book in Farsi, and he gave a donation. He was going back to Afghanistan. And he wanted to know where all the other Farsi books were. And he was so excited about it. This is, we have this, and the Prabhupada said, as many books in as many languages. So now we've got these books. I brought Vietnamese books with me, right, Srivas? We've got a whole box of Vietnamese books. There's nothing more fun than going to Vietnam Town, and I guarantee you, every city in America has a Vietnam Town. These are some of the most upwardly mobile, educated, soft-hearted, cultured people in the world. If you go into Vietnam Town and you present books in Vietnamese, then they really deeply appreciate it. And all kinds of other people all over Los Angeles, this is a microcosm for the world. You can find every person who speaks different languages in this city. Why not find all the Russians? Why not find all the Cambodians? Why not find all the Spanish speakers? You can make a career out of this, and that's exactly what we intend to do. Okay, the more you show, the more you sell. This is the third law of book distribution. Everyone please say.
The more you show, the more you sell.
This one's so important, we always say it twice.
The more you show, the more you sell.
Because you said it just on a scale of 1 to 10, at about a 2, say it one more time.
The more you show, the more you sell.
Okay, so the more you show, the more you sell. Anywhere you show these books, people get attracted to them. Because little Jiva's wandering around the universe, he's wondering what he can get into next. And when he sees the book, he becomes attracted, because Krishna's all attractive. So you don't have to be clever or smart, you just have to show the books. Jayananda Prabhu, when he drove a cab back in the early days, used to put a book on the back seat. And when the fare would get in, they say there's a book in the back seat. And he'd go, yeah, take a look. And he'd drive around for a little while, and they get in the conversation, and he'd say, yeah, it's just a donation. And all day long, he was selling books. Whatever your occupation, show the books. Figure out a way to make them visible. And I guarantee you, things will happen. I know some devotees at our temple at ISD, which stands for Ishkata Silicon Valley, or Individual Spontaneous and Voluntary, that you, they take them to their cubicle at work. Anybody work in a cubicle? Huh? Okay, yeah. A lot of fun, right? Cubicle. So you take books, you put them in the cubicle, just put a few in there. Just line them up, and you don't have to proselytize or anything. You just put them in there, and if people walk by, and one day somebody's going to say, hey, come over here. What do you got there in the cubicle? This is books. What about it? And so, well, what kind of books are they? And then they just say, okay, you want to see one? Okay, here. And you start showing the books. Next thing you know, people are reading the Bhagavad Gita. So you have to show the books, because the more you show,
the more you show.
This is the smart box. You can put these everywhere. People just take the books out, they put the money in the box, and you can distribute books while you sleep. Here's Srivas Pandit Prabhu. He's right back here. Srivas, give him a hand. Srivas Pandit Prabhu conducts our Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav courses. He's an excellent teacher. He knows all the Shastras very well. He's a pundit. And he goes out on book distribution. He stands behind a table like this. His wife goes out too. She's our co-sanctum leader at ISKCON Silicon Valley. And just by standing there with a beautiful smile on your face and a table that says books on yoga, people come over and engage you, and they'll ask. Anybody can do this. A family can go out. We have families that go out. Mother, father, and the babies go out too. Five-year-olds go out. Six-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 2-year-olds, toddlers, huh?
Dogs.
And dogs. We have dogs. I should have the picture, but a yogi passed away recently, but Yogi was one of our book distributors. Hansapriya Mataji, that she'd bring her dog on Sankirtan, so I said he's got to do a little service, a little more than he's doing now, just walking around. So she had backpacks made, and she put the books in the backpacks on the dogs, and she'd walk them around, and people would go, cute dog, and what's the book? And then they buy books. And we put Yogi in the Sankirtan newsletter, in case you didn't notice. We're sending in the scores from the dogs up there. Because the more you show,
the more you sell.
Okay. Then the fourth law of book distribution is you must organize. Because you can do a little bit of book distribution if you just mess around and you're satisfied the way you are now. But organization is powerful. That's why they teach it at university. There are management skills. There are huge textbooks like this that you can read and understand. understand how to organize, how to make incremental improvements every time you do something. And it requires a little bit of thought. It requires a little bit of... Wars are won in the general's tent. That's where they're won. You have to come together, get in the tent, talk about your strategy. You look at the great wars of the world, they were won by intelligent generals with strategy. They weren't won by superior force. So we have a great message. We have beautiful books. They have to be... We have to organize and really think about how to do it properly. Don't be satisfied with the way you're doing it now and just say, that's the way we all can focus on it. You can always improve. Right? Or are we done? My Vedanga teacher told me, he said, when you think you're done, you're done. As soon as you think I'm good enough, you're out of the game. So you always have to organize, you always have to think, how can I do better? And all you have to do to achieve improvement is to sit down with a pad of paper. I recommend a legal pad and a pen and a couple of devotees, or by yourself, and just think for an hour with no disturbance and say, how can I do better than I'm doing now? And write down 50 ideas, how can I do better? And then pick out the top 10 and say, I'm going to implement these. And guess what? After a month, 3 months, 6 months, you'll be making incremental improvements that will be noticed by the world. And that's how people advance. They make incremental improvements. It's not by accident. It doesn't happen to lucky people. It happens to people who are prepared. Organized. Here's the late, great Rasika Shekhar, who passed away recently, about 2 months after receiving his first initiation. And he became a pillar of our book distribution at ISKCON of Silicon Valley. His family started coming to our temple when it was just in a house. Mrs. Vyas was telling how she helped bring the first deities up there from Los Angeles. And they were in a house. And he started coming. And then when we were moving from a storefront, we moved from a house to a storefront and then to a commercial building. And when we were moving, we wanted to know where to put the books. He said, I'll put them in my house. He had a big house with a big garage. He turned his whole garage into what we called Sankirtan Central. And he and his whole family, his two twins, very bright young kids, and his wife, they organized all the book distribution. Savas knew them well because he was the interface between the BBT and ISV. And he did all this organization, dedicated his life to book distribution. And it was all organized out of his house. This was the first book wrap, and then it got bigger and bigger and bigger until his whole house and garage. At one point during the marathon, his whole house was full of books. Organized. You can always make plans to make improvements for your Harinams, for your book distribution. Everything can be improved. So the four laws of book distribution are, number one, your sadhana must be strong. Number two, because you can't distribute books you don't have, right? Am I right about that, or am I making a mistake there? I just want to make sure I'm not miscalculating. Am I right or right?
Right.
Third is? But that one's so important that we say it twice, right?
The more you show, the more you sell.
And if you walk out of here tonight, someone grabs you by the arm and say, what the heck was that guy talking about in there? You'll say?
The more you show, the more you sell.
And if someone wakes you up at 1:30 in the morning tonight, and they say, what was that seminar about? You'll say? Okay, how to sell a book on its own merit, which is the best way to do it. Our prime directive is to leave everyone with a good impression. If you go out with this mindset that everyone I meet, take a book, don't take a book, who cares? Everyone who looks at me, I'm going to leave a good impression. If you go out with this feeling that I'm going out to make friends with people, and let the books distribute themselves. Don't worry about technique. Don't worry about a score. Don't worry about pressure. Just go out and worry about leaving people with a good impression. Be a kind friend to all living beings. And the world will open up. The world of book distribution will become automatic. A smile and a wave and being friendly to people, considerate, goes a long way. Because we're in the service business. Which business?
Service.
And so our motto is, always better service. There's Krishna washing the feet of Sudama Brahman. Service attitude, that's what we're looking for. And if you have that, then the whole world opens up. here's a principle that, that takes all the pressure off of you for book distribution. And that is to pick the right fruits. When you go out, when you go to pick fruits from a tree, which fruits do you pick first?
The right.
And what do you do with the fruits that aren't ripe?
Wait for them to ripen.
Okay, the fruits that aren't ripe, they're stuck onto the tree, right? And they're hard, and they, you know, it's hard to get them off. So I suggest that what you do is you grab them, you grab the whole branch, you try to break it off, and if you can't, you keep working it until it comes off the tree, and then you drag it down the street. Is that what you do?
No.
I think that's what you do, right? No, I should you does. That's not what you do. You look for the fruits that are ripe, juicy, they just come right off the tree. They have a look, they have a feel, and so people are like that too. Here's some examples. Here's a ripe fruit. Here's a devotee distributing. This fellow was at Rathiatra in New York. See his countenance? He was a brand new person. He came over to look at the books. What do you think? Ripe or unripe?
Ripe.
Okay, now look at this. What do you think?
Not ripe.
Okay, ripe? Unripe. Ripe? Unripe. And that's what you get when you go out. Now, granted, there may be people in between. You have to become expert at deciding. But if you're going out and you're in anxiety and you're thinking, how am I going to convince people? Forget about it. Don't try to convince people. Just look for the right fruits. And they're out there. Go from one person to the next and be friendly and nice. And when you meet somebody who's friendly and nice back, you have an opening. You have the right fruit. And you can engage him, engage that person in Krishna consciousness. Our root is that we are Krishna's instruments. So God is an instrument. Don't try to... be the doer. Just let Krishna do the work through you. We should always remain humble and hungry. We go out for self-purification. We do service for service sake. And by the way, that's Dhamma Prabhu distributing a book through a second-story window. That's a dangerous move there. He's standing on top of an air-conditioning duct. Is that Rathiatra? There was a man looking out the window. You can just see the reflection of the Rathiatra cart coming by, you see? And this man was so excited up there. He was waving and jumping and dancing. So Damodar took it on his own initiative to climb up, scale the building, and shoot a book through the second story window. That's called utsahan, enthusiasm. Service with a smile. When you're on an airplane and they tell you, when the oxygen mask comes down, who do they tell you to put it on first?
Yourself.
Yourself. So, our motto, I save one soul at a time, beginning with myself. Don't get all condescending with everybody and all high and mighty. Just save yourself first. And if you save yourself, then you've got something to offer people. Leave everyone with a good impression. Treat people with respect. Respect people. Realize that they're actually part and parcel of Krishna. Offer kind words. Everyone likes kind words. Even animals. If you talk to a dog nicely, he'll start, you know, getting friendly, and cats start purring. And people, they really appreciate it. When you just offer one or two kind words, they'll remember it for the rest of their life. An encouraging word, a kind word spoken in gratitude or out of appreciation will last a lifetime. And focus on teamwork. So this is a team in North Carolina. We went there, it was 108 degrees, and we went on Sankirtan. We organized a team there, together, worked together, and this is sort of the picture that represents the idea of the monthly Sankirtan festival. It's a lot of devotees, each doing a little bit. We're united. In the monthly Sankirtan festival, we work as one team, like a team sport. You know, when you come together, and you're all for one and one for all. And everything counts towards the total of the team. So, if you do that, then everyone will feel like being involved. And get in the habit of expressing appreciation to those people you work with. Remember that preaching means giving. Don't be condescending. And express empathy towards people. Thanks, sir. Practice reflective listening. Listen to people. The three words that block all learning are?
I know that.
I already knew that. Wait to hear what I know. But just practice listening to people. And make people feel special, because they are. Every soul is special. There's not one person that's the same as another.
Every individual in this universe is absolutely, eternally special.
So this was Prabhupada's mood. He was the ambassador of goodwill. So that's what we're being asked to do. Just be an ambassador of goodwill. You don't have to be a salesperson. You don't have to be trained in all kinds of specialties. You just have to have this feeling that I've been given the greatest gift and that I want to go out and give it to others. And, you know, do it to the best of your ability. Birds fly in the sky as high as they're able. And every bird, some birds can fly 1 inch off the ground, some can go a mile in the sky. It doesn't matter. It's to Krishna, who's in Goloka Vrindavan, the height is not that important. It's the endeavor that you do your best. So if you just try to do this activity of distributing Prabhupada's books, you'll be following in the footsteps of the greatest ambassador of goodwill who ever visited the Earth planet. What do you think so far? Want to go? Gail, 1 to 10.
10.
10? Bon?
8.
Okay. Good. He leaves room for improvement. So, how to sell a Bhagavad Gita on its own merit? Here's how to do it. First, you got to use radar. So, a radar gun shoots out and it bounces off, it comes back into the machine and it tells you exactly how fast the person's going and what their velocity is and so forth. So you can use the same thing. It's in your hand. Hold your hand up. Come on. Hold your hand up. Hold your hand up. Like this. Point. Yeah. Point your hand at somebody. And then I'll activate it. I'll tell you the mantra to activate. There's a radar in your hand. Come on, try this. Trust me. I'll point it at somebody and I'll tell you the mantra and then you'll see it's activated. You ready? Hi! Now when you do that, there's a beam that comes out of your hand. It's very powerful. You'll see, you can get people from across the street. I do it all the time. I see somebody go like this. Hi. And it hits them, and then it bounces back, and what it tells you is what their mentality is. You see if they're right foot, unright foot. You'll be able to see right away. You just go, hi. And they go like this. Right foot, unright foot. They're unright, right? So you don't have to deal with them. Don't feel bad. Don't feel rejected. It's just the way it is. There's right fruits and there are unright fruits. And if you go like this, hi. And someone goes, hi, how are you doing? And they come right over to you. You've got a right fruit. And all you have to do is just stand there. You don't have to chase people. You don't even have to step into it. You can stand on a corner. And we learned this because Bhanabhata and I worked at the San Francisco airport for many years. We couldn't go anywhere. We were restricted to one place. So we had to learn this. And it was actually good training for me because I would stand there and just, you know, try to attract people over because I couldn't go to them. I couldn't chase them down the corridor. And I learned that people come over on their own. You don't have to go after them. Right, Bonnie? Dan, too? Okay, hand power. Next thing is qualify people. Ask them a question. Before you thrust a book towards them, ask them a question to find out if they're qualified or not. Are you from Los Angeles or out of town? That'll work. Are you, Bonnie, from Los Angeles or out of town?
Yeah.
Which one?
Out of town.
Then he's qualified, right? He's from Los Angeles. In town, he's qualified. So, the next is... Are we done, Sabas, or is it... quite early. Okay. Next is to trust the hand, and learn to hand the book over, put it in people's hands, because the hand will grab the book. And then tell them a little something about the book. Please repeat this mantra.
Books on yoga.
There are many mantras. You can use the mantra that you like, but here's one you can get started on. When you hand the book over, you can say that, and then ask people. You've heard of stress before, right? Say it. Let's take a moment to read the deeds, and then we'll start right up. Thank you. Y'all okay? Okay. I'm going to go through this rapidly, and then we'll have just a little time for questions. Okay? Then when people tell me they're stressed, I say, you don't look stressed. What's your secret? And when they tell me their secret, I hand the book back over, and I show them what's in it, starting with the pictures that I say I'll show you really quick. And I show them in the back Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Einstein, the Beatles. I point out that many famous people have read this book. Then I show them the inside cover. The universities, like USC and Georgetown University, have written appreciations for this book. Then I show them the changing bodies that we're just passing through. And I ask them if they've heard of karma. And when they tell me they have, I ask them what it means to them. And when they give me their explanation, I show appreciation for their explanation. And then I show them this picture, telling violence beats violence, generosity beats generosity. And then I show them this picture, and I ask them, what do you do professionally? They say, I'm a civil engineer, I'm a Sunday school teacher, I'm a dancer. And I say, really, this guy used to be a civil engineer. Really, this guy used to be a Sunday school teacher. Well, this guy used to be a dancer. Then I hand the book back. Say, we don't sell it like in a bookstore. We just take a donation. It costs $10 to print. Anything you give over that is a donation. And then I tell them, when you give in return for spiritual knowledge, you get good fortune and the power to read and understand the book. You're doing this to spread love for God. And at the end, after they've given a donation, it always teaches them a mantra to say, do you believe in the power of prayer? And if they, 90% of the people in America will say yes. And then I'll say, I'll teach you this prayer from Sanskrit. It wakes up love for God in your heart. And then I say, are you ready? And I hand them the card. And then I say, they say, I'm ready. I get them to say, I'm ready. And then I'll say, Hare Krishna. Repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama
Rama. Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
And they're chanting Namabhas. They're not expecting anything in return. They're innocently chanting the holy name, getting immense benefit from this chanting the Maha Mantra. Sometimes, I've seen this before, like with a couple, where I'll say, okay, you ready? And the guy goes, yeah. And then his wife says, don't do it. Then why not do it? I don't know, just don't do it. You don't know what's going to happen, you know what's in it. And I started thinking about, yeah, what's in this? You know, next day I said, I'm really going to chant today because I want to find out what it's going to do to me. Because it's so powerful. People sense it. It's like, it's an incantation. You say it and your whole life turns the opposite direction. You know, and they're thinking, I don't know what's going to happen when I do this. And we really don't. I mean, we have no idea what kind of journey we're on from just chanting this mantra. But we're going to find out pretty soon. Okay, so do you believe in the power of prayer? Then teach them the mantra. Take time to teach people the mantra. It's fantastic. And when you're chanting japa the next day, you'll be thinking about it. You get Lord Nityananda's mercy. And then give out prasadam. These are some of our prasadam bags. When the devotees go out for book distribution, we make bag lunches. And so everyone has a bag lunch. They go out. But we also take tons of prasadam to pass out to people when we're out in sankirtan, because everyone appreciates prasadam. You just pass it out everywhere you go. In fact, when you travel, you should always take prasadam with you. When you go to the ticket counter, give them prasadam. I'll tell you a story. We were just passing through Seoul, Korea. I was with a group of BBT devotees. We were going around the world doing a few different projects. And we were late for the flight because we were traveling with like six people and it was hard to get in cabs and out of cabs and move everything. And we didn't have any status on the airline, nothing. So we got up to the ticket counter, and the lady started saying, you're a little late, I can't accommodate all of you. It would have been a disaster. So as she was, you know, clicking on her thing, I took a piece of prasadam, because we were passing it out as we went through the airport, candy prasadam, and I put it right in front of her. And all of a sudden, as she was clicking on her keyboard, she started smiling. And a couple seconds later, she goes, okay, yeah, I found your seat. So I'm in Chakra. He's a real joker. Everywhere I went, he's joking. So he takes a piece And he puts it in front of her and he goes, can we have an upgrade? But Prashanna opens doors. Actually, when I go through, like, you go through the Delhi airport, you bring books. Every time when I come from Vrindavan, we always load up on books when we're at the go-down in Vrindavan. And when we get to the airport, all those guards that are standing there, they read the paper for about a half an hour before they even let you through the door for some reason. And then there's another guy has to read it for another half an hour. Because, I don't know. But if you go up to them and you say, Hare Krishna, give Prashadam in a book, they didn't even look at it. They just start smiling. They go, go ahead. So much for security. But prashadam opens doors. If you just go to a new town and you just start giving out prashadam everywhere you go, to the post office and you go to the bank, and everyone will become your friend, and after a while they'll be chanting Hare Krishna. It's our secret weapon. Without them even knowing it, they become Krishna conscious. There's absolutely no reason in the universe not to take prashadam with you and give it out wherever you go liberally. And when you go in Sankirtan, it gives you something to do if you're having a bad day distributing books. It means you can stay in the flow of giving. Just hand out prashadam. It's easy. Nothing easier than that, right? Then get their information, because you want to stay in contact people. Look at who we have here. Ruchi, the late great Ruchi Das, one of the great book distributors of all time. We lost him about 15, 20 years ago, unfortunately. He joined here in Los Angeles. And then thank people for taking their valuable time. This is in San Diego. We were going door to door. Just by accident, we happened to go to a devotee's house, the first house we went to. And again, our prime directive is? Yeah, just go out with that mood. And whether they take book or don't take book, that's not our goal. We'll leave everyone with a good impression, and you'll find that miraculous things happen. When I was in Honolulu, Hawaii, we were distributing books and dhotis on the street. I showed a Srimad Bhagavatam to a couple, a honeymoon couple. And I went through the whole presentation, and then I asked them for a donation. All of a sudden they said, you know, we're Christians, we're not interested. And they said, we give to our church, and, you know, we don't want the book. I was in a very, very uplifted mood for being in the temple and chanting and everything. And I thanked them for taking their valuable time. And I really meant it. I said, it was an honor to meet you. I gave them no resistance whatsoever. No disappointment that they didn't take the book. No feeling that, you know, you're with some other group. I was feeling some happiness in my heart. And I expressed that to them. And then I walked away and I kept distributing books. About a half an hour later, I was talking to another couple. And I saw them out of the corner of my eye. And when I finished, they walked up to me and they said, we changed our mind. We'd like to give a donation. So they gave me $5 and I said, please take the book. They said, we don't want the book. And I said, that's a conundrum because, see, we can't just take money. We have to also give out a book with it. It's part of our religion. And they said, okay, we'll take the book. And so the point was, I realized how profoundly we affect people by our consciousness when we meet them. When you meet somebody, it's not whether they take the book or not necessarily, but how you leave them, because they'll come back and they'll remember you the next time. And every person you leave with a good impression, they'll think about it for a long time. And if you're doing that all the time, you'll be in the right consciousness to present Krishna consciousness. Okay. About sets of books. You know, we have full sets of Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And they're available. And here they are, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just a sample. In ISV at our temple, right before Gaur Purnima, we made a goal to distribute Chaitanya Charitamrita sets. And I forget how many we said we were going to do, but we surpassed it. So much so that we were bugging the BBT to get more, because they ran out. And we ended up doing 76 sets of Chaitanya Charitamritas in 2 weekends. And a lot of that was door-to-door. We go door-to-door and we just wait for the right fruit. The person invites you in and says that I really like what you're doing. This is very interesting. And then you pull out the set of Chaitanya Charitamritas. And during the Christmas last year, we also brought sets of Gaur Nitai deities with us. So you take out the deities and you take out the set of books and you just put it in front of them and say, this is what we have. And you know what? People take it. It's only $100. It's nothing. And then the Srimad Bhagavatam sets that we have right now, these are retail, only $240. People take these books all the time. Everyone's looking for something, and this is it. So you sell these full sets, and all you have to do is present it, and people will take them. And there are beautiful books in various languages, like this is the Nectar of Instruction in Farsi, and this is a sample of a language card in Vietnamese that you can just show people when you hand over a Vietnamese book if you don't speak Vietnamese. Lots of different languages to present in. Anyone? Anyone? Okay. And if you need more information, on our website, Fantaspark, you can go to this link called Book Distribution. There's some really unique stuff here. Like I was telling Savas today, Savas Prabhu, that in Washington, D.C., at a Sunday feast program, we sold 46 sets of Bhagavatams in about 10 minutes by giving a presentation at the Sunday feast lecture. And that's all recorded. You can listen to that and figure out how to do it. Because there's something in form, something clicked. And there's a lot of other good stuff here on the book distribution link. And somebody says, I already know about this. I say, that's great. I can tell by looking at you. They say, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Christian, I'm a Hindu, I'm black, I'm white, I'm a woman, I'm a man. I say, great, then I'll show you this one. They just give them a different book and say, okay, this one's for the... Are you selling this? We refuse to sell it. It's too valuable. We just take a donation. How much should I donate? You try to keep it under 100, but in your case, you're thinking about making an exception. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. Your reflections. Any questions or things that stuck in your mind? And we have an extra microphone here. Someone can pass it around.
It's right behind you. I'm sorry.
Do we have a technician, skilled technician in here? Okay. To turn the thing on? I'm afraid. Okay. Reflection means any one thing that's stuck in your mind that you say, I can use this. This is valuable information. It's something I hadn't heard before. I'm going to take it. You want to do that? Okay, so we'll take 7 reflections, but we'll do them quick. Don't take a half an hour. Just tell us in 30 seconds what it is. Okay, go ahead. By the way, tomorrow we're going out on book distribution. We're leaving from the Bhakti House at what time?
We'll
meet at 9:30. And we're going out on an excursion, and you don't have to distribute any books. You just have to come along. We're going to organize. We'll take as many vehicles as we need. We already lined up the spots. I'm going to take devotees to a Vietnamese part of town. You can't have any more fun than this. And don't worry about any result. There's no result expected at all. Just come out and have fun. Okay, go ahead.
So much for the lecture. I get really inspired by your explanation of four poles of the distribution, especially a lot of organization, because you can't have a lot of enthusiasm, but you can never organize it or lose it pretty soon, or not become stable in your service. So thank you so much for these points. I think it's really valuable for your needs.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Nice reflection. Okay, 6 more. One thing that's stuck in your mind.
Leave a good impression.
Leave a good impression. Nice. Reflect. Okay.
Listen to people. Be a good listener.
Nice. Good one. 4 more. Ginger. It works. It's mystic power. Okay, 3 more. 3 more reflections. And then I got gifts, so don't go away. Okay. 3 more reflections. One thing you heard that stuck in your mind.
Being completely free from the results and not worrying about what anyone else says.
Thank you. Actually, that's the mood of the whole monthly Sankirtan Festival. It's a team effort. You don't have to worry about results. Thank you. 2 more.
few books near your office space, because I actually had that happen to me earlier this week. Somebody told me right now in Santa Monica, and then like in the kitchen, or the office kitchen, was like asking me about it later, so it really does work.
Fantastic, thank you. Very nice. Savas.
I think that something that was extremely important was to leave, you know, with a good impression. Because we should see that we're representing Islam, Srila Prabhupada, the devotees around the world. So if we leave them with a good impression, whenever they meet a devotee somewhere else, because we know that's not going to be the first time, if you meet them once, they'll meet a devotee again. And next time they might stop, even if they didn't stop for you.
Nice. Thank you, Savas. Nice happen.
I especially love your quote about Srila Prabhupada asking that you be assisting in nearness.
Yeah, it really gets you in the heart, doesn't it? We have some service. That's the greatest gift. We've been given service. And it's all lined up. It's not like we have to rewrite anything or start over. It's all available, ready to go. Out of the box, literally. Okay, so I have some gifts. Here's what they look like. By the way, anything I use, I always copyright. It's a good idea, so the BBT keeps its copyright. In North America this year, we've made a goal as a team. We decided at the Temple Presidents meeting 2 years ago that we would all work as a team. All the Temple Presidents came together and said, one team, North America, that we'll all go for a combined goal. And last year, we went for the goal of increasing book distribution by 20%. That means 20% more sales from the BBT to all the temples. And we did 28.6% increase nationwide. That's huge. That's extra hundreds of thousands of dollars. And what happened was everyone stepped up. All the temples did a little bit more, just 20% more. It wasn't difficult for a lot of people because they weren't doing anything. Two books would have done it. So, but a lot of people, like Savas, you know, who's already operating at a really high level, all of you here in Los Angeles, living in this, you know, haven for book distribution, is already operating at a high level, even in these areas, like Savas increased, put a bigger push on it. And he said it was the best marathon he ever had. He was in ecstasy. So when you have a goal to shoot for, it enlivens you. It's like flipping a switch. You have something that you're working for. So increase book issues by 20% in 2013 was also ratified. So everyone liked it so much. We said, let's go for another 20% because there's still a lot more potential, so much more, because a lot of communities are just waking up to the fact that if you organize a little bit, you can get huge increases in book distribution. Here's what we've done at ISV, ISKCON Silicon Valley. We started in 2007. Here's 2008. We remitted 38,000, then 60,000, then 90,000. You see how it's jumping up? And we're a householder community. We don't have brahmacharis full-time. People go out once a month, and a little bit more nowadays, because they have a taste for it. But this is what we've done through organization and using this team approach of a lot of devotees each doing a little bit, emphasizing team scores, everyone working together as a team. And look what happened. 30, 60, 90, a little dip here. Last year, 110,000. This year, we're going for 132,000, and we will achieve it. Because we've never missed a goal ever in the history of ISKCON Silicon Valley. And devotees aren't about to at this point. Right, Roger?
Yes.
They'll die first. Okay. Chicago, just from last year, applying these same principles of, you know, a lot of people doing a little bit, they jumped up 60% from 19,000 to 31,000. Here's Philadelphia. They're doing 5,000 a year. Last year they did 21,000. This year they're going to do double that. Using these basic, simple principles, a lot of devotees each doing a little bit, not concentrating on the individual results, just going out as a team, you know, and appreciating if somebody goes out and just helps, we appreciate that. Whatever, somebody just advocates or cooks for the program, it's one big team all working together. A lot of people each doing a little, it works. Here's Washington, D.C. They've been climbing, if I showed you years before this, they had precipitous climb from there, and they're all trending upwards. Everyone who's using the system. Toronto, phenomenal results. Just 3 years ago, they were doing like 2,000-3,000, and now they're up in the 50,000 range. Los Angeles, even though they're operating such a high level, 9% increase by setting a goal. Big hand for Los Angeles. Here's Austin, Texas. NA means not available. That means they weren't doing anything. But last year, one of the devotees from Toronto who was trained in this idea of how to do a monthly Sankirtan festival, and she knew it worked. She was one of the leaders in Toronto. She got her job transfer. She went to Austin. I said, it's Krishna's arrangement. Start the monthly Sankirtan festival. And with a handful of devotees last year, they started this. And this year, they're looking at multiples of this, multiples, because they've realized their potential. This they just did in the last couple months of the year. But next year they're looking at a much bigger. And it's nobody straining themselves or being asked to drain their bank account. It's just a lot of devotees each doing a little bit, having fun while they do it. And we emphasize this, fun activities, taking out everyone together. The kids can come. And we have a picnic afterwards. In Toronto, they took out a double-decker bus and then we drove around the city. We went to Niagara Falls. To have at the at part of our monthly Sankirtan festival, mix it up and have a lot of fun. And the theme this year, which is on all the wristbands, now these purple wristbands which you start to see around the world, last year it was orange, the year before that it was yellow. We're wearing these wristbands to remind ourselves that we're shooting for something. We're not just messing around here. We're looking at a 20% increase. So it says right on the wristband, 20% more from last year. And the theme, which comes from Prabhupada, he told us, tax your brain. Because if you just think about it, get a legal pad and write down some ideas, try to come up with some new ideas how to do this. Tax your brain, then you'll achieve wonderful things. Krishna will help you. So this is what the wristbands look like. And I brought one for all of you. And there's different sizes. These are medium, small for the kids, more medium. We got medium, small, and large. Bon? Now that's a good idea.
We got a few dogs.
Shrivat, can you come up and help me? So, actually, a couple of devotees can help. A lot of the ladies, they wear small, because a lot of times your wrists are smaller. And medium, yeah, generally, is for men that don't have gigantic wrists. And then we have larger. So, in just a minute, if you'll stand over here, then we can, for those of you who like one of these purple wristbands, you get them. And I also brought you more stuff. You want more stuff?
Yeah.
Yes, but she does. This is cool. This is a little card, and on it, Prabhupada, this is one of Prabhupada's goals for ISKCON. You carry this with you, and I did this on Sankirtan when I was in New York, and it was phenomenal. How much people appreciated this. When it comes to the time for the donation, and they'd say, what's it for? I'd read them this card, and I say, to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large, and to educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. They go, okay, great, I'll donate for that. So, I'm one of these for everybody. You take it with you, and you can use this when you're on Sankirtan and tell people what you're doing this for. And also remind yourself, this is one of the main goals of ISKCON. And this is why you're doing the book distribution. So we'll pass these out. And I also brought these forms, these feedback forms. I would deeply appreciate it if you would take one of these and fill it out and give me your feedback about the seminar today. And any other ideas that you have, things that you wanted to hear about that you didn't hear, questions that you have, and things like that. Fair enough? Gifts for everybody. Okay, so just to finish the last part, it's fun and easy. Book distribution, find an easy place to even say this mantra.
Book distribution,
one more time.
Book distribution, find an easy.
One more time.
Book distribution, find an easy.
You see how easy that is? So, it's a fact. So book distribution, fun and easy. Come out with us tomorrow. We're not going out to distribute any books, so don't even think about it. We're just going out to see if we can get everybody out at the same time and drive to a location. We'll touch the pavement, and once we do that, we're done. And anything you do after that is extra. And it's all just fun after that. You can just experiment and try whatever you want and just come out. It'll be a historic time and a lot of fun for everybody. Thank you very much. Now, please come up and get one of your Tax Your Brain wristbands and also one of these systematically propagating spiritual consciousness.